Thank you, Keith, for your introduction. Thank you, Tom, for water. And thank you, everyone, for being here. And Judith, thank you for inviting me. Can you all hear me all right? I've been here, I think, 3 times and have listened to the talks that I haven't attended on the computer. And after I heard Dawn, I think she was the first one that I came to hear, I told Judith she'd made a terrible mistake. There was no way that I could talk to you about writing and self-forgiveness, but she told me it was all right. I didn't have to be perfect. So this reminded me of a poem that a student of mine wrote in the 5th grade some years ago. Her name was Sandra. And as you can see, I put some poems on the center of the table for souvenirs. And we're going to read some of these poems, and you can take them with you, and we may not get around to reading all of them. But before I go on continuing to talk about what we're going to do, I'm going to read you Sandra's poem, because I think this has a lot to do with self-forgiveness. Perfect is no fun. Being perfect is no fun. You have to act like a dead person. If you move, it's like time is falling off a cliff. You can't blink because it's like a child playing in the sun. Being perfect is almost impossible. It's like trying to open your mouth 6 feet wide. I'll never be perfect because I have lots of energy compared to a snail. I'm off to play. My poem is ending, but someone just starting to be perfect? Why, it's just the beginning for them. Every time, you know, I start listing my sins for the day, you know, or what I haven't done, or how I failed people, or how come I couldn't find this, or I forgot to pay my house insurance, or whatever, I think of this poem, and it makes me laugh. And then that makes me think, we take this business of, you know, thinking we're supposed to be these marvelous human beings, we maybe take it too seriously. And I was just telling Mary Jane this morning when she came in, I said, you know, I think it's so much easier to forgive other people than to forgive ourselves. And so maybe that was in the back of my mind when I was assembling some poems for today. It's difficult being a poetry therapist sometimes. I was at and this happens a lot to me, I was at a party, a social gathering, not too long ago, and a friend introduced me to her boyfriend, and she said, Perry is a poet. And he looked at me and he said, I hate poetry. Forgiveness was hard coming. So I said, and sir, what do you do? And he said, I'm an engineer. I said, well, lucky for you, I don't hate engineering. So these things happen. They happen a lot. People are afraid of poetry, and they're also afraid of therapists. So when I'm introduced, oftentimes people run the other direction. And so I just want to say I'm really appreciative of you being here today, because I thought maybe there would be about 20 people. And I thought, well, you know, poetry therapy, my friends will show up and that's it. But here we are, and on the table there are poems, which is fine because you can read them, but you're probably wondering what that paper is doing there with pencils on it. You know, you can doodle. You can draw a portrait of the person sitting across from you. Or, you know, I might have some ideas for little things you might write, and then you can be good sports. And then you could do that. You could do some writing. Notice you are sitting at tables, which is, you know, a little interesting change from how things usually are. And It's because you all are the guests today. Because you are the ones who are going to be sharing some things with each other. And Judith and I were thinking how nice it would be that you'd be at tables. And then, you know, and if you choose not to write, at least you can talk. And you might share some thoughts with each other about various things that I'll be suggesting as we go along. At the break, after the break, I should say, we won't have, you know, like some of the other speakers have had, you know, reflections and all that. We're going to do it all the way through, some reflections and some thinking and that sort of thing. So I'd like to say just a little bit about writing. Well, ask some questions. How many of you like to read? How many of you like poetry? How many of you have ever written a poem? How many of you refuse to write a poem? We have a strange notion about what poetry is. I was talking with someone beforehand about that. And a lot of us, as with many groups that I work with, like the group at hospice and the sanctuary house and the kids, they just think poetry is too hard. One time at the writers conference, a novelist came up to me and he said something, and I said, "Well, you could write a poem about that." He said, "Oh no, I couldn't." And I said, "Well, how come?" He said, "I don't have time to write a poem." I said, "But you write novels." He said, "That's easy." So I said, I couldn't write a novel if my life depended on it. I wouldn't get past the first page. So we all do different things, and I also understand the fear. So writing right away is sort of like an act of self-forgiveness, because you don't have to be perfect. And you don't have to win the Pulitzer Prize. And you don't have to share it with anyone. And it can be just for yourself. So with that question, how many of you have been doing the writing that the book suggests, the Book of Forgiving? You know, all those lovely little journal exercises? We have two people who've been doing them. So this is also an opportunity for you to self-forgive for not doing your writing exercises that Desmond Tutu, of all people, has suggested. How many of you have a stone, a special stone? And, you know, stones are quite wonderful, and that may come up a little later in what we talk about. So, as I was getting in the car this morning, I thought of, oh, there's this poem. I just thought of, I'll read this poem to them. And this is about, you know, you're doing things that you're not used to doing. And it's titled, God Says Yes to Me, by Kaylin Haught. I don't have her poem on the sheet. I'm sorry to say, it was a last-minute decision. We poets do that. I asked God if it was okay to be melodramatic, and she said yes. I asked her if it was okay to be short, and she said, sure is. I asked her if I could wear nail polish or not wear nail polish. And she said, honey, she calls me that sometimes. She said, you can do just exactly what you want to. Thanks, God, I said. And is it even okay if I don't paragraph my letters? Sweet cakes, God said. Who knows where she picked that up? What I'm telling you is yes, yes, yes. So that reminds me of also this thing about self-forgiveness. We can do it, but just sometimes we need a little help. So this may be too personal of a question, but I'm wondering how many of you ever went to confession because of your religious affiliation? Well, I went to 16 years of Catholic school. And when I became poet laureate, I was asked to do a poetry reading at Claire's place at the Mission. And for some reason, many years after my first confession, this poem popped into my head, which is in my book, Baggage Claim. Isn't that a great title for a poem? Baggage Claim. Okay, so here we are. My family doesn't care for this poem. First confession. My oldest sister advised, make it good. The second one added, so if you die, you'll go straight to heaven. In church, the entire second grade, their souls wiped clean days before, sat sweetly in pews waiting until I caught up to communion practice. Until I caught up so communion practice could begin, me out sick a month. Inside the dark box, a small sweep of the window revealed the priest behind the screen. Nervous, I forgot the bless me father part. Simply shouted, I stole lots of money from my mommy's purse, poured perfume over my baby brother, lied hundreds. For flavor, I had impure thoughts. A phrase learned in religion class. That was the kicker. The priest stormed out his side, yanked open mine, pulled me by my elbow into the light. Child, he said, quit lying. And quiet down. I thought I'd been really good. My friend's eyes were stop signs, their mouths huge as hosts. My penance, 5 Hail Marys. I said them fast. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Along with a mumbled act of contrition, while Sister Mary, ungracious, pulled me into the lineup next to Bobby Grant, who wanted details. But I was told to hold my tongue. Well, I hope this brings back sweet memories to some of you. We all have our stories to tell, and we all are just big people grown up around little people. And I think you've all heard the expression that a lot of times what we need to do to help heal some of our wounds is to learn to love the child within, because that child within can't help but making all kinds of mistakes, and how that mistake is handled has a lasting influence on us as we grow up. And a lot of times this lack of self-forgiveness, I mean, it's easy to say I'm sorry for, you know, a number of different things, but it's harder to say I really messed up back there when I was 7 and stole a candy bar from the drugstore on the first floor of the apartment where I lived when I was a child. That was one of my things. You know, we lived on the 4th floor of an apartment building in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and there was a drugstore below, and I just thought that, you know, it was all mine, you know, so I'd just go down and help myself and go back upstairs again. And, you know, I learned that wasn't quite the way to be in the world, and it takes some time. Well, I'll tell you this story. I wasn't going to, but I will. So I have a 3-year-old grandson and 2 granddaughters who are older, 7 and 9. So they were over for dinner not too long ago, and they were getting ready to leave, and my little grandson, he wasn't 3, that he was 2 at the time. He wasn't quite potty trained. So my son said, I have to change your diaper. And he said, you know, he didn't want that. And, you know, there was this tussle going on, and my grandson finally screams, I like my poop. And I got thinking, that's the whole reason the field of psychology developed, you know. We there's something in that if you really meditate about that, you know. And I think self-forgiveness can be a little bit that way. If you know what I'm talking about, you know, because we know it. We're so familiar with it that to actually go into this new territory, you know, and sort of, you know, kind of like ourselves and accept ourselves for being unacceptable or whatever we are, is difficult. And so, and some of that is in the chapter. You will recall maybe having read some of that. So we're not going to worry about being perfect, and we're going to do a little bit of writing. And we're going to get ready. Here's your first exercise. Basho, who is the most famous haiku writer of all times, said on his deathbed, thousands of haikus later, "I failed. I just wanted to write one perfect haiku." That's a true story. So that might have something to do with what you might write later on. Who knows? Who knows where we'll go? So here's a haiku you all are going to model after. And this is a haiku by Basho. And it says, "I am the one who eats breakfast gazing at morning glories." So you're all going to write a haiku, starting with just three lines long, starting, and you all have the same first sentence, "I am the one who." And then say something you do, and then say something you notice. So get yourselves a piece of paper, and if you can write it in your notebook, or there's paper on the tables. If you don't have a pen or pencil, Judith has been very nice and kind to bring paper and pencils. So I'm going to say the haiku again. Everybody just, if you want, you can write down your name. Some, you know, that's a good way to get started. Okay, "I am the one who..." Now say something in the second line, and we're not counting syllables, by the way, if you learn that in grade school. So, you know, we not to worry, and you don't even have to think about it as a high school as a haiku. "I am the one who," and then say some action. Like he says, "I'm the one who eats breakfast." You know, maybe "I'm the one who lost my blah blah blah," or "I'm the one who doesn't know blah blah blah," or an action of any kind. You can even use sitting here in this room, something about this line. "I am the one who refuses to." And then the third line is something you have noticed in nature. When I wrote together, I wrote, "I'm the one who picks a yellow weed from the drought brown field." That was like a little example of something I wrote. Maybe something you don't understand. And if you write one, you might want to write another one. Now you might want to write one. "I'm the one who won't forgive myself," and then add a third line. Like weeding the garden. Something from nature. "I'm the one who won't forgive myself." listening to the morning dove or something, anything. And just about another minute. Remember, it doesn't have to be perfect. Question? Oh, I'm the one who can't forgive themselves. And it was just an example, you know, who can't forgive myself while, and then a picture of yourself doing something that's very worthwhile, you know, while washing the dishes or... Anybody need more time? Do you need more time? Good. Now here's the fun part. You get to share with each other. And we'll do that for about 5 minutes. It will be noisy, so speak up. A little word about, I think, the message that Bob sent out. Pulled a little thing from my website which says, you know, to parry everything is about helping people find their voice. It's hard to value what we have to say, even if it isn't perfect. And I really believe in that. I had three older brothers and sisters who always let me know that, you know, when we were little, what I had to say didn't count much. And I was very shy, and I didn't talk much till I got to be older, believe it or not. So... it's okay, and you don't have to share, just if you want to. So, okay, begin. Just share amongst each other. And if you want to pass and say you don't want to do it, that's fine too. The whole table can share with each other. Someone just asked if the whole table, you can do that. And if you're too shy to do that, then just share with one person next to you. Whatever you want. You're in charge of your group. You didn't know you were a group, but you're a group. Someone gave me this little thing, so I'm gonna ring it because I never have before. I'm breaking it in at this very moment. So I heard some very interesting haiku. I should have said more about what a haiku is and isn't, but you all kind of get the idea. Three-line poem, but not necessarily. First line, five syllables. Second line, seven. Third line, five. However, that's the Japanese directions. And American language doesn't really break down in 5-7-5. So people will, you know, can sit around for a month trying to write a haiku that's 5-7-5. And I even have kids write haiku without saying anything about the syllable count. Or I'll say, it's there, but you don't worry about it. And I hand out pictures to them and I say, here's a picture, and write down what you see in the picture, and then say something about yourself. And I remember this little girl a long time ago who said, "Don't run at me so fast, horse. I'm only 8 years old." I mean, it's really very easy. People who write about poetry make it very complicated, and they also... you know, we from school, I had a degree, my first degree in English, and in college, in the medieval English class, I never got anything right. You know, the teacher said, "What does this mean?" And I go, "It means blah, 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 blah. You're wrong." I mean, and that's just the way it was. So it's actually amazing that I grew up loving poetry because I was always wrong. And I didn't rhyme right. And then I learned later on, they said the same thing about Emily Dickinson. She didn't know how to rhyme. And she was constantly berated by the critics. And in her life, only 10 of her poems were published. Did you know that about Emily Dickinson? Very interesting. So where was I? Yes, so now you're all poets. I heard some tremendous haiku. That was great. Now we're going to get serious. No, I'm kidding you. So I want to read you a couple of quotes about, and you might have heard this. This is William Carlos Williams in the poem Asphodel, That Greeny Flower, four lines from that poem. It is difficult to get the news from poems, yet men die miserably every day for lack of what is found there. And, you know, when there are births, we read poetry, we bring poetry out. When people are married, we bring poetry out. And when people die, we bring poetry out. And, you know, I think we need to do it, you know, every day. How I got into it is my father was a zoologist, and he also wrote poetry all the time for birthdays. When he and Mom had arguments, he would write these poems, and then they would get all lovey-dovey. And so I thought, you know, I just grew up with it. It's kind of something that you did. And so when I was 18, I went into... This was really bad. I went into their drawers and books and pulled out all these poems on scraps of paper and typed them up on an old Royal typewriter and gave it to them for their 25th wedding anniversary. It was one little... And, you know, it just changed something in the family. And I think that's how I ended up going into poetry therapy in a way, because... It just changed things. And I saw that in the schools, too, when I'd go in and say, well, you know, here's a poem, and get people to talk about it, get the children to talk about it, ancient poems and new poems. And they would talk, and they would write these poems, just pouring their hearts out, and get up and stand in front of each other and read their poems with a big smile until they hit sixth grade. And, you know, but it's a good thing to do. Mary Oliver says poetry is prayer. It is passion and story and music. It is beauty, comfort, agitation, declaration, thanksgiving. Often poetry is the gate to a new life, or sometimes the restoration of an old world gone. It can quicken, enliven the interior world of the listener. I think poetry is a way to listen to ourselves. Any kind of writing is. So there is a poem on your page by Mary Oliver called Praying, and I would like someone to offer to read it. And I have a traveling mic. So would someone offer to read it? And I will come around and hold the mic up, and there we go. And if I ask you to, if I ask you to read it, if I stand over here, yeah. Tom, that's better? Okay. And you are...
Sue's
going to read it for us.
Okay. Praying. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention. Then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak.
So does someone have a comment on that poem? They'd be willing to say something about that poem, what you appreciate about it. A lot of you went, oh. So what makes us go, ah, in that poem? Anyone want to say something? Ah, thank you. And when you talk on this mic, Tom told me, a little off to the side, because it's a very strong mic, not right in over here.
Yes, it reminds me a lot of the effects of meditation, where you go into that silent place, where you have a chance to reflect and accept uncomfortable emotions. So that silence gives you that opportunity. So that's what it makes me think of.
Thank you. Anyone else? Jack, this is how I'm getting my morning exercise.
I like the fact that it's a doorway. It isn't the room itself we enter into. It's just something that opens the way for us. All right, this better? I like the fact that it's a doorway and not the space itself. It's a way of entering in, and that's always the hard part, is getting there in the first place. And if these few words, anything that catches your attention, if you can stop for just a minute and hang on to it, and it will slide you into where you want to be. I think that's what she's saying.
Beautiful, Jackie. Thank you. So I think there's another poem I want to read. After that, oops, I should turn this off probably. Except I'm going to turn it on again in a minute. Oh, here's a quick writing. No, we're going to do an exercise now. Another really quick writing exercise before the break. And this exercise is, you know, earlier I had said a lot of times this feeling of lack of self-forgiveness, we don't, you know, it's a number of things. And sometimes they're just free-floating. Just sometimes we wake up and we just don't like ourselves for some reason. Start a first line, I can't forgive myself because, and then I'll tell you what to do. Yeah, write down that verse. As Jackie said, sometimes it's, you know, hard to find the door, and I believe in first lines to get you going. So, I can't forgive myself because, and now we're going to write for 3 minutes, and I want you to give all the reasons you can't forgive yourself. You don't have to have a specific thing, just for instance, because my shoes are too tight, I didn't finish Desmond Tutu's book, there's a cramp in my hand, I sprained my wrist, I have too much to do. Those are just some of mine. So I can't forgive myself because, and go. All right, so now you can share with each other for, it's 5 to 11, so let's say for about, you know, until we break. Always if you want to. And you might only want to share one line you wrote. And if you don't want to say anything, that's fine too. So just share with each other and begin. You're quieter. I wonder why.
Can't read it, but she'd be happy to read it to you.
Well, maybe she would read it before we go off on break. I'm going to have a couple of people read before we go off on break. You've been elected. How do you feel about that?
Well, not wonderful, but that's all right. Isn't that the way it works?
You know, when William Carlos Williams says, you know, people will die for lack of what is fine found there, it could be, yeah, but I'll die if I find what I do find there.
The bag's not good.
How's everyone doing at this table?
Good.
Someone like to share a give me an excuse poem?
We have a poet.
I write poetry all the time. I mean, it's like fun. It also helps to sing poems.
Well, would you like to read your haiku? Oh, all right. Would someone else like to read what they read?
They haven't read.
They haven't read to us yet.
I can't forgive myself because I'm afraid of my relationships. I am basically lonely, but why? This journey is not going to end. But then again, who said it should? Some payback needs to be made. Balance. balance is the reality of the universe. And I am out of balance, I'm sure. Too much of me and not enough of you. God help us all. And this, and they promise redemption.
You really go deep with your words and your thoughts. You are Peter. Well, I think we'll hear a couple of poems to the whole group, and then we'll break for snack. All right. And so I'm looking at the time. It's getting ready for snack time. But I'd like to hear a couple of offerings that someone would be courageous enough to read to the whole group. So is there someone who would volunteer to read a line or two? All right, Jackie. Here, I'll hold it for you.
I can't forgive myself because I have three daughters who think I am a pain in the neck. I can't forgive myself because sometimes I am a pain in the neck. But I do forgive myself because when I am not being a pain in the neck, I'm really lovable. I think I'll give myself a hug. Anyone want to join me?
Thank you, Jackie. Anyone else? All right. Dawn, how wonderful.
I'll do one.
All right. Now, do you want me to hold it for you?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't forgive myself because I will cry at the relief of it all.
Say that again, Dawn.
Yes.
Yeah, that needs repeating.
I can't forgive myself because I will cry at the relief of it all.
At the relief of it all. You know, we really feel that. You know, something connects deep down. Thank you, Dawn. All right. Terry, was that a hand? And then I'll come back to you. This is fun. See how much we're learning? So much better than reading somebody else's words.
I can't forgive myself because I like being on my case, beating myself up for years-old behavior. It's become an appendage I depend on.
Okay, moving right along. Terry? We're so wise when we write. And you are Barbara.
Okay. I do forgive myself because I crowd too much in a day. I haven't gotten to the stack of magazines, let alone the 10 books on my bedroom bureau. I haven't seen one movie in a month. I didn't take my mile walk today. I didn't play with my cats enough, let alone talk to Paul the evening through. I still haven't washed all those darn windows in my house. I care too much, and I just simply can't say no.
Oh.
Thanks.
Thank you. And one more, Tony. Now, at the end, you know, we'll come back from snack, and I have one more writing exercise, and then there'll be lots of time to share in the group. You're doing great. Tony. Can we hold it, or do you want?
You can hold it. I can't forgive myself because I've gained weight and my pants are too tight. I'm mean to Gary sometimes. I haven't swept the patio. I never think positive thoughts about my brother Dave. I like rereading certain mystery writers instead of Tudu's book. I stopped meditating. I only pray or ask for help when I'm in dire straits. I want a new car.
You know, what's that saying? The truth will set you free. What I want to know is, when you get a new car, are you going to forgive yourself?
Oh, that's the other...
Okay. when I went around, and I think Jackie or someone's poem ended up with, but I can forgive myself. And you know, that's a great way that, I have to turn this off. That's a great way to trick ourselves, is to start from the other end. You know, like, well, I can't do this because blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, as you go, it's how the mind works. And then as you go down resisting, all of a sudden some truth will come up out of the negative, will come the positive. Interesting. You know, when you think about the negative, how the negative thoughts have so much more power in our lives than the positive ones. I mean, and I'm hearing that quite a bit as I was roaming around. You know, I've taught for many years in college and, you know, with children, and you have to do these evaluations. You read over these evaluations, you know, wonderful, I learned so much, and da-da-da. You're bad for my karma. I actually got an evaluation like that one time, and I fretted about it for years until I read Tutu's book, and then I thought, oh, I'm human, good for me. I accept myself with all my flaws. So, yes, let's have a break, and I will see you back here. Judith, what, 15 minutes? Okay. Oh. Thank you, and applaud to you for being so brave.